We are live. It is Sunday night, and we're with Jeff Gargis and Elijah Carbajal. My name is Brad Hughes, and we're here with the Sunday weekly warm-up exclusively in the Teach Better Facebook group. We are here for, well, just to shoot the breeze. We're here to reconnect. We're here to connect with you, our Teach Better community. We're here to get you set up for a fantastic week ahead, no matter what your important role in education is. We're here for some shenanigans. We're here for some big announcements. Actually, we're here for you. So wherever you're watching from, make sure you hit us up in the comments. Let us know where you are, where you're watching from, what your role is, and what you're enjoying most about tonight's program. Jeff and Elijah, we'll get started right after this. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Teach Better family, it is the Sunday weekly warm-up. Brad Hughes and Jeff Gargis from the Teach Better team joining you tonight for our weekly live broadcast exclusively on the Teach Better Facebook group. TeachBetterGroup.com is where to get signed up for that. Later, we'll be streaming this out to our network on, tomorrow would be tomorrow, Monday. We'll be streaming out on all of the channels, as well as going to turn in magically to an edition of the Teach Better Talk podcast. Jeff Gargis, you are familiar with the Teach Better Talk podcast and your co-host, Ray Hewitt. How are you doing? How's your week been?
I'm good. I can't believe that you hit go live when you did, because we were still laughing from our shenanigans beforehand. And I can't believe that this is literally my first time ever on the Sunday show.
Jeff, okay,
like,
wait.
This is it's a big day. And Elijah's here too. Like, this is really
back
cool.
Up the truck. Jeff, I'm you excited. Are you're the COO of the Teach Better team, and you're telling me, like, just want to be clear, this is not only your first appearance on the Sunday weekly warm-up, but you're new to the whole Sunday weekly warm-up. Like, what's going on? How is this possible?
This is probably the first time I will have watched the Sunday warm-up all the way through. I've watched a lot of clips, but I don't know that I've ever actually I don't usually chime in. I'll usually maybe catch the first couple minutes and then I bounce out, and then I'll catch some of it on Monday replay or in clips or whatever. But yeah, I'm excited though. This is really cool. Ray was like, "Hey Jeff, I really want to be lazy. Can you do this thing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, as long as Brad does it and I'm just there." And that's what we came to. So here we are.
Jeff, it's awesome to have you with us. And we have Elijah Carbajal with us. Elijah, how are you? And how has your weekend been?
Hey man, I'm doing great, and the weekend has been relaxing. Not gonna lie, I think I only slept about 4 hours last night, so I took a huge nap today, which the body needed. It was just relaxing, but which doesn't normally happen. But no, the weekend's going great, and things here are going well. Yeah, happy to be here in this space.
I did like the complete opposite of a 4 hour nap today. We've been just running everywhere all day long. We picked up camping supplies for scouts. We got multiple pairs of soccer shoes because soccer starts tomorrow. We had lunch out. We got groceries. We got fish in our house now. That's a thing. Basically, we spent all of our money today because I figured out, and I think I've known this, but I'm admitting it now live publicly, that my wife can't say no to me. Mm-hmm. And I can't say no to my kids, and I'm basically another kid too. So like, we got Jonathan like the really nice, like top of the line, like hiking backpack, and then I got one too. Because I'm like, well, I'm going camping with him once. Like, I should get. And she says yes to that. So then Jacqueline says, "Hey, remember Dad? You said I could get a fish, and we still don't have a fish." And I'm like, "I shouldn't have brought you to the store with the fish." And now we have fish.
Jeff, two questions for you. One, does the camping backpack, is it the kind that has the frame, like the
you're
going to scale Everest kind of thing?
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Like, it's overkill for what we're doing. But yeah, it's got the frame, and it comes around and buckles up, and it's got all, you know, it's a good set. We got him the pad because it's. Yep. So he's now officially in the BSA Scouts, so like the Boy Scouts BSA. So it'll be all tent camping. And we go in 2 weeks. We have like two weekends back to back. And it's going to be, yeah, so we got him that. We made sure he got his mess kit and all this other stuff. And, you know, I kept trying to get her to say, I guess I lied. She can say no, because she said no to the machete. Like, she wouldn't. Why my 11-year-old can't have a machete? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's one of the indispensable tools, I think, on like Survivor. You got to have a flint and machete, and you've got to have the backpack. The other question I did, is the fish going on this camping trip with you? Is the fish going to be accommodated?
No, but we do have like they're like the betta fish that, you know, that you're supposed to just like put in a bowl, you know?
Yeah.
But not when you have a wife who's a vet technician who knows all the things, and all of her vet technician friends are like fish, like no fish. So we got like tanks coming tomorrow that are multiple gallons with filters and heaters and all. I'm like, wait a minute. The fish were $4.99 and everything else was a lot more. It's gonna be fun though. So both kids will get I'm taking over. So it was technically just Jacqueline that had earned the fish, and then they were looking at all these fish, the betas, and you know, I don't know if you ever looked at, you know, there's like 30 of them, and like 12 of them are dead, you know, and like my kids are just this way. So like we're leaving, and Jonathan's just got a little bit of a look on his face, and I'm like, are you all right, buddy? He's just like, and he just breaks down. He's like, I'm just so sad that we can't save all the fish. And I'm like, oh man, Mike, do we need to go save another fish? So we went and saved another fish. So
Elijah, are there animals in your life as well?
There is one animal right now, and her name is Nala. She's a cat.
Is she a lion? Oh, sorry.
she's the little lioness that lives in my kitchen and living room and all that. Wow. Yeah. So we love it. Tracy is begging for a dog. Not begging. Okay. I shouldn't say begging, but she
you
wants
can say
a dog.
Begging. It's yep. Okay.
No, that's a bit extreme.
She's not here.
But she may be watching.
She's there,
but she may be watching. No, begging's a bit extreme, but she has that urge of like, I want a dog.
Yeah.
And my cat just unfortunately doesn't do well with other pets. I've tried before. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those like when that time comes, then we'll look at, you know, then I'll get her a dog for sure.
We have one of each, and they've learned to tolerate each other well enough. So
I had a dog with this cat, and it just didn't work out.
Now, was it because the dog kept going after the cat, or cat like tortured the dog?
No, it was the cat that tortured the dog.
Yeah, that's what I had. We had our first dog as a couple. We had a cat who would just like hide in the shadows of like underneath the table on the chair.
Yeah.
Our dog would go walk by, and that cat would get out and just smack it, then back into the shadows. And I'm and like, then just wants to love you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get it, man. Well, at least she knows it's her house. And she
owns. Yeah. It keeps her at peace.
I had the great opportunity to get to know Elijah and his wife, Tracy, at Teach Better 22. That was the Teach Better 22 conference in Akron, Ohio. Jeff, word on the street is there may be another opportunity for the Teach Better family to collaborate, to get together, to come together in Akron again this October. Do you know anything about this so-called Teach Better 23 conference?
I do, and part of me wants to say we're not talking about 22 anymore because I wasn't there. But we do have Elijah here, who I know not only had a good time at the conference, but also a big hit at the conference. And I kind of want to hear like Elijah's, you know, 60 to 90 second takeaways from the conference. And then maybe we can share something cool about the 23 conference and Elijah can help us out.
Love
so
that.
Elijah, I wasn't at 2022. Was it any good?
No.
All right. No, I don't think we should have 23.
It was phenomenal. It really was. Can I just say, so one of the big highlights for me was actually presenting at the conference. So I got to present a workshop about my branded classroom and what that means about how we can foster inclusion and community through the branded classroom and things like that. Dressed up like a pirate, man, you missed it. But
I have pictures and videos.
Yeah.
Though.
But not just that, you know, it was great. I was on Podcasters Row, so hanging out with some fellow podcasters and kind of learning from them and kind of watching to see kind of and learn some things from them was really helpful for me for sure. But then I love the networking just overall, just like the workshops are great, but then the networking that follows afterwards, just to like the discussion that circulates around the room around it. Is just, that's what I love about it. That's the part that fills me up the most from Teach Better is just the networking events, not like at the conference, but then outside the conference as well.
Yeah, the secret sauce of everything Teach Better is the relationships. It's the people. I mean, there's great content, great insight that's shared on all of the opportunities, whether it's a Sunday weekly warm up, or whether it's a Teach Better Academy, or whether it's another live, or whether it's the conference. But it's really the people. I can think of some incredibly meaningful and impactful conversations that happened outside of those classrooms where the presentations were going on. So you're there for all of it. Elijah, I'm looking forward to reconnecting with you this October, and I hope that Tracy can join us as well. Seeing you in costume and hearing you and watching you present, and also watching you and Tracy interact with other conferees there, was such a special treat. And Jeff, we've got a slate of keynote and guest speakers that we are getting ready to introduce to our Teach Better family to get everyone's appetite whetted for the conference. What's on tap tonight?
Yeah, talk about getting ready to, like, as in right now.
Basically,
like, right now, where we're at in life is that if Elijah says the right words, I will click a button that'll play a video that will officially announce our first keynote that we are releasing and sharing with the world. So this is, like, that moment. So we have two ways that we can do this, Elijah. Mm-hmm. You can guess what the word is, or I can tell you, and then you just say it, and I click the button.
Let me guess. Let me guess first. The button is click.
One of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given is this idea that information changes situations, but not without implementation. So although professional development can be great, books can be great, conferences can be great, it is what are we doing with what we're learning that's transforming our classrooms and transforming our students and our communities.
There we have it. Jeff, Elijah, our big announcement tonight, welcoming CJ Reynolds, incredible educator, speaker, presenter, as keynote speaker at Teach Better 23 in Akron, Ohio, this coming October at the National Inventors Hall of Fame Middle School. Beautiful setting, incredible setting, as a matter of fact. And CJ Reynolds, what an opportunity I had to get to know him and to meet him at the previous conference. And what a treat and what an incredible asset he's going to be to the whole Teach Better lineup, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, Elijah, reaction. So you got the word right. Nice job on click. I just made it up as you went. But reaction, go.
I'm stoked because I'm gonna go back to Teach Better 19.
Oh yeah.
I heard CJ speak at Teach Better 19, and he didn't keynote, but he gave a workshop on Teach Your Class Off. And there's things that I reference in my book from that workshop. It was that impactful. So I'm stoked.
That's awesome. Yeah, my mind was going to 2019 because, like, CJ's been with us since 2019. That was kind of his first. We had kind of connected with him, but that was the first, like, connection with the team. And then obviously he was there in 2022, and we were working with the team and the group trying to figure out who were the right voices to put in certain slots, and we're like, we need someone who's going to bring not just energy, but like substance filled, powerful, value packed energy, right? Because there's a lot of people who can bring high energy and get you pumped, but there's only a few people that can bring you high energy and get you pumped with actual like saying words that actually truly impact your classroom and your school and your community. And that's something that CJ does that I think better than most. And that's what it was, just like, heck yeah. I can't remember who it was that actually said, like, what about CJ? And we were just like, yes, of course, CJ. And so super excited to have him coming out.
Well, it makes sense, you know. Oh, sorry. It just makes sense. You know, he referenced it in the video that, you know, we need to have these action steps that, you know, follow these great ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. And he brings that. You know, there were things in his workshop that he gave that was like, I can do this as soon as I get back to my classroom. So I love that it is like, it's energy, but it's empowering as well.
I think too, guys, about the role of keynote speakers at any conference. And, you know, these are folks that bring all of the conferees together at certain points during the conference, and what they say and offer and what you share in that space proves to be foundational to the next steps of the conference. And I know that an opportunity to interact with our keynote speakers is going to be it's just going to be mind-blowing and life-changing in terms of the flow of the conference, the opportunity to meet, get to know, and then to continue to connect with our keynote, including CJ, is going to be incredible.
And so super exciting news. And I don't know how this happened, but not only did I get to come live tonight for my first time with Sunday Warm-Up with Elijah and get to announce CJ, I get to go live tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock Eastern time with CJ.
Oh, beautiful.
To chat with him and to talk about his stuff. So over the next, I think, 5, 6, 7 weeks, whatever it is, we're going to be announcing more and more speakers, sort of our initial lineup of folks. And then obviously, as I think everyone knows at this point, in May, so next month, oh, I can say that now, next month, proposals open next month in May. So it's getting real, Brad. It's getting real.
And that's what's remarkable about the opportunity we have to connect tonight and to continue to build on week after week, is to share the excitement and to reassure everyone that you have a voice and you have a role to play in our upcoming conference and in everything we do. I mean, we can't do it without our Teach Better family. We want to amplify the voices of the incredible people in our network, including Elijah. So, Jeff, what if we take a quick break? We'll flip into, we'll dive into discussion with Elijah, get to know everything about Elijah, and then we can do so right after a break.
Sounds good.
Beautiful. Hey, everybody, you're live with Jeff Gargis and Brad Hughes from the Teach Better team on the Sunday weekly warm-up, our weekly opportunity to bring the community together live exclusively in our Teach Better group on Facebook. If you're not a member, I hope you are because you're here, but if you want to encourage others to join us, it's teachbettergroup.com. And Jeff and I have the honor and the pleasure of connecting with Elijah Carbajal tonight. Elijah, for those that don't yet know you well, let us know a little bit about you. Where are you? What do you do? Like, you're doing all the things. I want to dive into all the ways that you contribute, but who are you? Where are you? What's your important role in education? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, yeah, thanks again. I'm stoked to be here with both of y'all and just happy for this opportunity. I am from Albuquerque, New Mexico, currently working in the city of Albuquerque Public Schools. I work as a Title I reading interventionist. Before that, I did a lot of classroom work. I was a classroom teacher, grade 4 and grade 3. Other important things about me that you need to know, I am married to Tracy Taylor, who a lot of the people, a lot of you know, and a lot of folks in the comments, I'm sure, probably are familiar with. She was there at Teach Better. She was all decked out in costume as well. Hey, Andrea, or I hope I said that correct. Andrea. Okay, sweet. So that's a little bit about me. Tracy is an art teacher in the same school district, and she's just doing a heck of a job with that, killing it, leading some professional development at her school and for the fine arts department this year. So she's making a big splash with that. So hand up in the back. Yes, Mr. Gargis.
Do you like write or do anything like that? Like anything else?
Well, I was going to get to that eventually.
Okay, I was just making sure. I just want to make sure we got there.
No, eventually. A couple things outside of that that I do that I guess you could call passion projects, side projects, whatever. First of all, I've written a book, A Place They Love, Creating Healthy School Culture and Positively Impacting Students, published with EduMatch Publishing, and the exciting part about this is yeah. What made Teach Better 22 exciting was that it launched on opening day of Teach Better. So it was just like overwhelming.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, and I appreciate all that y'all did in helping kind of promote that and with the bookstore and everything like that. So, I wrote this book all about making school a place that kids love to be at. Because why not, right? If they spend 12 years of their life, going to school, it should be a place that they love and that they're excited to be at, not a place that they're just like dreading to go to and then eventually stop going to. I'm really excited that I could pour my heart and this message into this book and share it with so many educators. We can talk a little bit more about that, but I've got another little side project. I'm the host of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. And we have a big episode coming up in not this week, but the next week that I'll be talking about. Maybe give a hint a little bit later. So,
okay. Love that. Love yeah. that. Reflecting on it, you do all the things. You educate, you connect, you write, you inspire, you record. You're also a podcast guest. Mm-hmm. As we saw, Andrea said, you know, teach better couple goals. You and Tracy are an incredible duo. Like, talk with us a little bit about what it's like not only to share your life with a fellow educator, but to continue to lift each other up and to energize each other in your respective goals, and finally how you bring it all together.
Yeah. So I met Tracy, first of all. I met her at the school that I was working at. I was teaching fourth grade and she was the art teacher there. And so that's how we met. And she, without kind of knowing it, became my unofficial mentor, kind of helped me like get familiar with the school and the school culture and like climate and all that. And like kind of help me learn the ropes around the school and all that. But also she had been a classroom teacher before and had read books like Teach Like a Pirate and had done the work like that. And so she was kind of feeding me that sort of stuff as well. Eventually we were in a book club together at school with some other teachers and we read Kids Deserve It. And that just kind of, you know, our bond for teaching, you know, it really clicked and, you know, we, you know, brought us closer for sure. And then eventually, you know, hey, a couple of years down the road, hey, I kind of like you, you kind of like me. And, you know, here we are. We got married in February 2nd, 2022. So our anniversary is 2/2/22. So we were really excited about that. Caused a teacher shortage probably because we took that day was a Wednesday. Like all our friends are teachers. So our hashtag, it's funny, our hashtag that for our wedding was ditch to get hitched.
Love.
So yeah, it was awesome. But being married to Tracy, Tracy has become my best friend and, you know, the person that helps me feel brave. The person that helps me feel confident. And part of writing this book, there were so many times where it was like I started to kind of doubt myself, like, dude, like, is this even any good? Like, is anybody going to read this? And she, you know, she was my strength in those times, my encouragement to kind of keep going and, you know, trust your process, Elijah. So she 100% has my back, even when it comes across like, man, that's kind of painful feedback. Like, I'm learning to accept that and be like, you know what? I know that this is all part of the process of growth and all that. So, but it goes both ways. You know, there's times where she leans on me for support, where she comes home and it's, hey, I've had that day from hell and I need to kind of vent a little bit. I need to clear some things out. I need to talk some things through. And, so being married to an educator really helps in those moments because it's somebody who gets it, right? It's somebody who definitely gets what you're going through. And so I feel like they have a little more empathy and understanding and compassion for that. So, and Tracy definitely does for me on those days where it's just like, man, this was a day. But we're also there for each other for in the great celebrations, right? Like you said, how do we support each other in those personal endeavors, right? Like she's like my biggest hype man when it comes to the book. She is spreading the love at her school and to other teachers and all that. And so I'm going to do the same. Big shout out. I'm going to flash my camera down here. I don't know if y'all can see.
Sure can.
It's the Adventures in Education Captain and Crew merch. So this design was hand done by Tracy. Mm-hmm. And so we just actually launched a Etsy store where we're now selling teacher merch. We got this design. There's some new Shut Up and Teach merch on there. There's a Place They Love merch. Eventually we're going to have some other new educational designs as well as some personal like artwork and stuff on there. But I'm just happy and so proud of the work that she's done. Like she spent spring break just like working away to get this going. And so, you know, it looks all nice and flashy and everything, but like what you didn't see was the hours that she put into like, you know, making this and like getting the website going and, you know, going through critique and analysis and all that. So, yeah, I'm super proud of her, and I hope that I support her as much as she always supports me.
Elijah, when I reflect on your book, A Place They Love, I'm wondering if that came to be. Well, I'm wondering, did you see opportunities in schools where it wasn't a place where you or your colleagues loved to be and you're seeking change? Or was it spurred on by your role in creating an environment where people seemed to love coming each day and you wanted to share that love, you wanted to share that inspiration out?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, you know, I started noticing for myself that school wasn't a place that my students were loving. And it wasn't a place that I loved either. It was one of those, like, I have to go to work instead of like, I get to go to school. And I felt like if I feel that way, my students most likely feel the same way. Like there were just things that I was like, I hate teaching this. I hate teaching grammar. It's so boring. Like there's gotta be a better way and all this stuff. So fast forward, by this point now I've known Tracy for about a year. So we've had these conversations starting to make a little bit of changes. We start reading Kids Deserve It, and then something just kind of clicked with that. Like that was like the match on the fire, right? To kind of get things going for me was Kids Deserve It, because it really opened my eyes to what a classroom kind of should look like. And so I started just doing all these things, you know, reading all the books, you know, like Teach Like a Pirate. I read Teach Better, went to the conference, you know, started expanding my PLN and just growing my practice. But in that, I started blogging to help me sort of reflect on my own practice. And I just happened to notice as I was going through and like reflecting and reading through some of them that there was this theme of like, hey, you should make school a place that kids love. Like school should be a place that kids are excited about. Kids should be engaged in school. Teachers should be engaged in school. Like it should be a place that everyone is excited to be at. And so that's kind of where that name sort of came from, was that theme that was running throughout all the blogs that eventually turned into lengthier chapters and then eventually into the book.
What about the Shut Up and Teach podcast, part of our Teach Better podcast network? How did that podcast come to be, and why do you keep doing it? Like what's in it for you as well as for your listeners?
So Shut Up and Teach, I'll give the backstory about that. And I'm so excited to be part of the Teach Better podcast network now. And just alongside, I know your podcast is on there. Of course, this is obviously on the Teach Better podcast network, but some other great fellow podcasters. The Shut Up and Teach podcast started as a way for me to continue to reflect on my own growth. And that's really how it started. The first, like, I think like 10 or 12 episodes are all just personal reflections, not very long. They're like, some of them are even like 6 minutes long. They're just quick reflections. And so it started that way there, but the name Shut Up and Teach, hey, there it is. So the name Shut Up and Teach, right, came from this moment when I had to tell myself to shut up and teach. And it wasn't aggressive. It wasn't loud. It wasn't like mean and hateful. It was simply just Elijah, in this moment, like whatever you're dealing with right now, it can wait. So right now you need to shut up and teach. Like, don't ignore this problem. Just set it aside. Just set it aside. Shut up for the moment and just focus on what you need to focus on. And that's, so again, it wasn't loud. It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't judgmental. It was just simply that, you know, it's just a simple thought in my head. And so I started applying this to these situations where I did have to find myself and say, you know, Elijah, you can do better than this. Like you can do better than just passing out a worksheet. So let's shut up and teach better than that. Or, hey, I know you have a bad attitude right now because you, whatever, stubbed your toe on the way to the bathroom this morning, whatever. You can put that aside. Let's shut up and teach for the moment. It's not all about that toxic positivity stuff, like ignoring your problems. Please don't, I don't want anybody listening to take that and be like, oh, you said ignore your problems. That's not at all. Like, please, when I say I put a problem to the side, I do come back and visit that and solve that problem later. But what needs most of my energy? What needs all of my energy at that moment? The students in front of me. And so that's sort of where that name came from. And so that's what I try to highlight throughout these podcasts, through either personal reflections, it's just growth, And, you know, just thoughts and, you know, things that I'm learning myself, or interviews with wonderful guests that I've had the privilege of interviewing. And I'm learning from them. And I know that my listeners are also learning alongside that. So I'm just happy that this podcast has given me a chance to really broaden my connection with more educators who are just really phenomenal people and really making a big difference in education as well.
Jeff, what's coming up for you as you reflect on Elijah's contributions to all of these different things in the educational space?
Well, two things. One, I'll say one jokingly, well, sort of jokingly, and then I'll say one is, I don't know if you heard him say, shut up and teach better. I'm like, is that another book? Is that like a Elijah and Chad write a book and it's called Shut Up and Teach Better? Like, just throwing that out in there. I'm just throwing it out. Let be what will be. No, I think what I love about your stories, both sort of the making of both the book and the podcast, is that it wasn't I need to go tell people how to do this. I need to go make sure other people know this, or I need to go get known. I want to build a brand. It was simply, you were like, I need to do something. So I'm just going to do it in this fashion. Right. And you started writing. Right. And that led to that. And then the podcast, you were like, I need to do these things. I need to reflect on these things. I need to focus more on that. And what I love about it is those are the best ones, because then they organically get to the point where you then are almost accidentally serving a whole bunch of other people too, by those, the conversations you're having, the reflections you're having, the book, obviously. Right. And I think that's so powerful when that's where it comes from, where it's like the self-discovery or almost self-deconstruction and reconstruction process that then leads to us going, well, I might as well share it out. Cause I think sometimes, you know, sharing out is, I'm going to blog, I'm going to podcast as accountability so that I keep doing this intro, you know, this reflection and stuff, but it becomes something so much more for other people who go, one, I'm not alone. I'm with you, Elijah. I'm so glad you said that, because I feel that all the time and no one else seems to. Oh, and now I know how to go about it. Now I know how to fix it. And I think both the book brings that and then the podcast as well. And I think that's just powerful. That's such a cool story for how it starts. And I think if you're listening or watching or both or whatever right now, and you've got that going on, like, consider writing, consider podcasting as a way of reflection and as a way of yourself learning and growing. Ray and I have always said back when, obviously, Teach Better Talk's gone through a lot of changes, but when we initially started, it was an interview show. It was me and Ray interviewing educators, and we did 200 plus episodes of that, and it was the best PD we ever got. Ray still says that today. That was the best PD, because we just got to have conversations with educators from literally all over the world and ask them whatever we wanted to ask them and just soak it all in and learn from it. And, you know, for someone who's a part of this team who was not a teacher, like, I've learned so much from that. I learn all the time from our team and from Chet. But, like, those 200 plus episodes was such a amazing experience for me to, like, learn that. So, Elijah, I'm so glad that you're on that journey too, and that it's doing what it's doing. And I can't remember how many episodes have you gotten out so far?
So I am coming up on 50.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. I am coming up on 50. 50 is a big one. So 50 will be, let's see, I have the current one that's out is with Mickey Smith Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
that's a great episode. Listen to that episode. Yes.
Yeah. It was a fantastic episode. And then this coming, I'll announce it now. This coming Wednesday is an interview with Jillian Du Bois.
Oh, ooh.
So I'm really stoked about that. That was a fantastic conversation. I love Jillian.
She's great.
And then after that is 50. So I'm not sure what I have planned for that yet, but I'm talking with Tracy and we're kind of bouncing some ideas off of each other. So there'll be something coming for 50.
Are you weekly? Is it once a week?
We just switched over to once a week. Yeah, okay. It was bi-weekly. Wow. And then
you've been going well over a year now.
So we're on three. This is, so I launched in 2020. I launched at the end of 2020.
So now that you're on once a week, it's going to go a lot faster, which is awesome. So that's cool. Yeah. It's funny how that happens. You're like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for a while. As every other week, I can do once a week. Let's just go. Let's go. Well, a lot of people to talk to.
Well, and so that was one of the things I learned from Podcasters Row, was like, I was asking people like, hey, how do you manage like booking guests and stuff like that? And somebody was like, hey, use Calendly.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, as soon as I started using Calendly, like, things started booking up. So that's when I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, I think it's time. I think it's time we can transition to once a week. So
best thing Ray and I ever did was we just blocked off 3 hours every Monday night. We're like, that's when we podcast. And we're either going to have three guests or we'll have one or we'll have none. And that's when we podcast. Set up the Calendly. And it's so easy then. You're like, want to come on my podcast? Okay, here's the link.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely. Only every now and then you got to get creative, right? And it just makes it go. And yeah, because we started off as once a week and then eventually we're twice. And I think there's a while there where we were doing like three.
Three a week. Wow.
Because it's just, there's, you know, once you get in the flow, you know how it is, right? You're in your flow now, right? It's a lot easier to knock out once a week now because you're just doing your thing and you're like, I want to talk to more people. So
yeah,
I love it. That's awesome.
And I've got some great news as well. I mean, Breanne Fennell here in our comments, and happy birthday, Breanne Fennell.
Thank you. I was waiting for the right time to say it. Thank you.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Breanne. And Bree thinks the 50th anniversary is going to be Bree and Brad teaming up with Elijah. So, you know, or when you surprise Tracy with a dog live, which all of these things just here for you to consider. There's no obligation. Just here for you to consider. Bree is a master of coming up with these great plans. So you
need to find who's a guest you could have come back and like flip the mic on you for an episode, Elijah, for your 50th. Like,
ooh,
that would just like hit you with the hard hitting questions that like. Just dang, I'm just throwing that out there. Just an idea. I'm gonna think about that.
There's a handful of people that come to mind.
I fully support the dog, but like I think you could also not do the dog and do the. You could flip that.
I love it. There's a few that come to mind. That's a good idea. I'm gonna consider that.
Congrats on that so far. I'm sure you know, but if you don't podcast, you may not know this that. Most podcasts, and it's like 80s percent, is that a thing? Like 85%+ of podcasts do not make it past 10 episodes. So like kudos to you for going far beyond that. Like that's an accomplishment, and if we're being quality and continue to grow and now going once a week, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Super excited.
And what I see too, Elijah, is not only are you bringing folks into your space in terms of podcasting, but you're also a frequent guest. And this is what I find so exciting about contributing in any kind of educational space where you're able to bounce back and forth between contributor and creator, and you're able to grow along with it. And Jeff, I know you're really familiar with that process. Jeff, as well, familiar with your commitment to making Teach Better a place we love, a place that everyone that tunes in on a Sunday night, or a place that the Teach Better team looks forward to coming together on. And what do you say we take a quick break and we can shift back and we can reconnect with Elijah and Jeff, and we can maybe shift into some action steps. Like I'd love to hear more about Elijah's action steps as you plan for your week. Sound okay?
Sounds good.
Beautiful. Welcome back, everybody. Jeff?
Was that the right video?
It is now. That was the perfect
video. Because I see one called Action, and I'm like, wait, he's in the office. This
moment in time, that's perfect. No,
I hope Ray's not watching. I really hope she's not watching.
Oh, it's great. No, if you're just joining us, you are on Facebook exclusively in the teachbettergroup.com with Brad Hughes and Jeff Gargas. From the Teach Better team, we are together for the Sunday weekly warm-up, our weekly opportunity to come together to reflect on the week that was, to celebrate the weekend that is, and to look forward with positive anticipation and great energy to the week ahead. And Elijah, as you contemplate your week ahead in education and all of the different roles that you play, do you come up with the Sunday scaries at any time, or do you have ways that you sort of frame and structure your week ahead so that you're looking forward with anticipation?
You know, So Sunday scaries are definitely a thing for sure. I don't have it as bad, I feel like, as I used to. But because I feel like I'm a little more organized and I have things a little more in place. So I know that when I get to work on Monday, everything is set to go, right? So I've done all that work long ahead of time so that I'm not stressed or having to worry about, did I get anything done? Now, there are some things that I do Sunday night, right, to prep for Monday morning, but it's It's simple things like I will check the email that I didn't check over the weekend just to see if there's anything important that I missed. But as far as, I don't feel like, honestly, at this point, it's like crippling fear. It's just one of those, like, let me get prepared so I don't have that. You know what I mean? I think I run into fear when I'm not prepared.
So Elijah, is that, so if we focus on like the action step, right? Like, is it the, are you, I guess, is it all week that you're thinking about it? Or is it really like Friday when you lock in, you're like, let me, before I shut down on Friday, I need to make sure that I'm set as best I can be for Monday. So I don't have to worry about it through the weekend. I don't have to have these scaries on Sunday. Is that where you're at? Or is it just in general, hey, the more and more organized and sort of systematized that you can be, the less likely that anything's going to be surprising on Sunday, and the less likely you're going to be worried about it. And you don't even need to like jam pack your Friday or anything. It's just getting the systems in place and being organized.
Yeah, it's just getting systems in place. So I mentioned one of them earlier was Calendly, and that's helped with the podcast. But as far as my day-to-day, my personal life and all that, I use Google Calendar for sure. So Google Calendar, I love and I live by. That's helping me stay on top of everything. But as far as actually doing those things, and it's like, I try not to let things pile up and have to do them on Friday to get ready for Monday. So I'm trying to go into Monday already prepped for the entire week. So that's kind of my goal by the end of Friday, is I want to be ready for the next week. Now, if I hit that goal by Thursday, great. You know, that frees me up on Friday to do, you know, something else that may need to get done. But one of the things that I've been doing, and that I've been pretty, I've kind of kept it sacred, is my prep time. This year specifically has been like, unless it's an absolute emergency, like this is my time to prepare my lessons, prepare materials, and, you know, contact families if I need to, or do whatever it may be. But I'm going to use that time. I'm not going to squander it by, you know, going and hanging out in the teacher's lounge or, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm going to use that time, and I'm going to use it for what it's for. So making sure that I use the time of like, okay, this is prep time, I'm going to use it as prep time, means that I don't have to bring anything home. That was one thing that I committed to last year, was I'm not going to bring any work home this year. I'm not going to bring any work home. But that meant I had to become more diligent, more organized, setting things up like a calendar. Like this is funny, but I'm not a calendar guy. I never was a calendar guy. Paper, pencil, digital, just never was until last year, because of this goal of like, I don't want to have to do this, right? So I became more organized and put systems in place like that, so that things like the Sunday scaries wouldn't happen as much.
Elijah,
I hope that answers your question.
100%. I was thinking about earlier in discussion that we were talking about those special people that encourage you and that lift you up. And I wonder if you think about your faculty and you think about your campus, do you have accountability partners where you feel free to share like, hey, I want to take steps to protect my prep time, or I want to take steps to make sure that I'm using my time intentionally. Do you have folks who can champion you in that and call you out if you're not making it, or if you're just having a rough time? Are there folks in your space where you feel comfortable saying, hey, these are my goals, can you help me get there?
Yes, for sure. First of all, Tracy's easily one that I can go to, you know, that I can say, hey, and we've had some conversations recently of like, hey, I don't feel like I'm meeting a goal in this area. Like, what can I do? Like, let's brainstorm some ideas. I might need some help. But so Tracy's definitely one that I can go to. I have another friend at work, that I can go to say, hey, like, this is interrupting my prep time. I need to make sure that it's my prep time, right? She's part of leadership and all that, and can make sure that, you know, teachers have all that prep time. But one of the things that's honestly helped with that is I became the union rep at my school. And so understanding the negotiated contract a little bit more, I know union can kind of have sometimes like, you know, a bad rap sometimes, but like knowing being a union member and knowing like, this is what is allotted to you, right? This is your prep time. You can use this as your prep time. Helps keep me in bounds, right? And it helps keep right? Other people from interfering with that as well. And for other teachers as well, because I value their time as well.
I wonder if you can think of one or two things, or maybe even a challenge you can put out to our Teach Better family as they contemplate the week ahead, either to do with, you know, those restorative and supportive relationships at work, like kind of a buddy system, or something about taking a look at the space and the and the place where they work, and helping to make it even in a small way a place where we love and where kids love to come to school. Have you got anything in mind that might challenge our Teach Better family for the week ahead?
Yeah, I can challenge you with two simple things. Two simple things that we can do to make school a place that we love a little bit better. First one is I want you to eat lunch with your students, and not because it's a reward. Eat lunch with your kids, not because they earned it on Class Dojo or, you know, for you had whatever system in place. Like, if they did, that's great, but eat lunch with all of your kids. I started eating lunch. I stopped doing it as a reward. One year I said, you know what, I'm not going to do this as a reward. I'm just going to go to random groups every day or every so often and eat with them. So when you do this, when you eat lunch, you know, don't be, be inclusive of everybody. You know, don't be selective, like eat lunch with everybody. It really goes great. It goes a long way to building healthy relationships with kids, because who doesn't love to chat over, you know, at a table with food, right? But one other thing that I want to encourage you to do, to try to do, is to play with your students at recess. Play with your students at recess. That is such a huge, huge step in the right direction to building positive relationships, because you've stepped into their world, right? It's no longer just, hey, let me give you knowledge and we're in the classroom and that's all great, right? We need to be better teachers, but we also need to connect with our students as well. Right? We're not just dumping knowledge into their brains. We're connecting with them on different levels. And so one of the things that I like to do that is to play with them at recess. So I want to encourage you to try to eat lunch with your students and get outside and play with them at recess.
Elijah and Jeff, as we wrap up our time on the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up this week, Elijah, if we want to keep in touch with you, and I wonder, what are the best ways that we can continue to learn more about you and to keep in touch with you, whether it's on social media or on the web or through the Teach Better Network?
Yeah, so my handle is on the screen there, at Carba Eli. That's the same handle for Twitter, Instagram, and recently TikTok. Of course, you can find me here on Facebook. I'm here right now. And the Shut Up and Teach podcast is available on just about every major platform, but it's also available on the Teach Better Podcast Network. So please go check that out. If you'd like to check out some Captain and Crew merch, I will be sure to go back and drop the link into, I guess, the replay of this a little bit later. So,
Elijah, thanks. And Jeff, what's coming to mind as you reflect on our time with Elijah, or as you reflect on your week ahead?
Listen, I'd love to be like serious right now, but I'm not going to be, because all I can see in my head right now is the scene from Billy Madison, but it's Elijah playing dodgeball, and he's like, now you're all in big trouble. And just, that's all I saw right there. Now, like, don't let that sidestep the fact that I think that is brilliant advice. Like, talk about building relationships, getting out there into fun when, like, you're like, we're just out, but I saw that. Like, I saw Elijah just winging that dodgeball at people. So, you know, that's where I'm at. That's what's taking me into the week. I think it's going to be a great week because of that. I want to remind everyone, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Eastern time, live on all the channels with CJ. And I'm just going to be asking CJ questions, letting them set up some awesome answers and share the awesomeness that is CJ. And then we'll talk a little about the conference and what he's hoping to bring to that as well. So thanks for having us on, Brad.
Thank you.
Jeff and Elijah, I've had a ball with you guys today, and I think it's time that we get ready to bounce. But before we do, I just want to make sure that everyone knows that we love you and we appreciate you as members of the Teach Better family. We want to continue to make the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up and everything we offer, you know, a place where people look forward to coming together. And I just want to make sure that the Teach Better community is a place that we love. So, Elijah, thanks for being an important part of that tonight and an important part of that on an ongoing basis. Jeff, as always, thanks for your leadership and support your partnership. I love and appreciate you both. And we love and appreciate you, our Teach Better community. We look forward to reconnecting as early as tomorrow with Jeff and CJ. And every week, we'll be back for the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. Have a great night and a great weekend, everybody. We'll be right back.